Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Well, welcome to you on this Monday, and thanks for joining us at Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm thrilled you're with us, and we're starting week two of a marvelous series. I hope you were with us all last week as Derek was teaching us about Thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Today, he's going to go to a topic which is one of the really powerful themes in the Word of God about how worship and praise are connected to deliverance and to destroying the powers of the demonic. This is one of the great themes in Scripture, often missed throughout the history of the church, not emphasized like it should have been, and worship descended into ritual, it descended into deadness. But when the Word of God was exalted again, people began to understand that worship really has a power to silence the mouth of the avenger, as it says in Psalm 8, and to destroy the power of the enemy. So get your Bible, get something to take notes with, and really let this work into your souls. I'm going to tell you that if you're looking for deliverance in your own life, deliverance in the life of your family, your church, even your business, worship could be a real key to it. So let's get ready as Derek Prince teaches us on Thanksgiving, praise, and worship as a way of deliverance.
In my previous talks, I've been dealing with various aspects of praise. First of all, praise is eternal. It's the unceasing activity of all the glorious creatures who have the most direct access to God in heaven. Second, for us on earth, praise is our only way of access into the presence and dwelling place of God. Third, praise is the appropriate way that we relate to God as a king on his throne. It's a royal garment that makes us fit for his presence. Fourth, praise is the purpose for which God blesses us. His blessings are designed to call forth praise from us. Thus, praise is an end in itself, not just a means to some other end. Today, I'm going to deal with another vitally important aspect of praise, praise as a way of deliverance. By this, I mean that when we find ourselves in some critical or desperate situation, praise opens the way for God to intervene on our behalf and work out our deliverance, often on a level far higher than anything we could ever achieve merely by our own efforts. This general principle is stated in Psalm 50, verse 23. I'm going to read two different versions of this verse, which bring out different aspects of the truth. First of all, the King James. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. That's God speaking. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Now, the New International Version of the same verse. He who sacrifices thank offerings honors me, and he prepares the way so that I may show him the salvation of God. I think that's very significant, that alternative translation. From my understanding of the Hebrew language, I would say each is a legitimate translation. But you see that the one who offers praise prepares the way that God may show him his salvation. In other words, praise opens the way for God to intervene supernaturally on our behalf. God's salvation there means his deliverance, his help. When we're in desperate need and trouble, we don't have the answer to our own problems. Then if we praise God in faith, our praise opens the way for God to intervene. There's a very good example of this in the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, a record of the reign of King Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. At a certain point in his reign, King Jehoshaphat was informed that a very large alien invading army was on its way against him from the southeast. An army of Ammonites and Moabites and people from Mount Seir, all of them coming with the intention of invading and destroying the kingdom of Judah. King Jehoshaphat realized that he didn't have the military means in the natural to withstand this invading army. And so he turned to God. He turned to a supernatural realm. He did various things. He proclaimed a fast. He called God's people together for prayer. Then he led the people in prayer. And after he had prayed, a supernatural utterance was given through one of the Levites, an utterance in prophecy in which God revealed that he'd heard the prayer and that he was going to intervene on behalf of his people, Judah, and that they would not need to fight. So when the people heard this beautiful prophecy, it says they bowed their heads and worshipped. Now let's see what Jehoshaphat did next. I'm going to read verses 21 through 26. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness, as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. Notice that very significant phrase, as the men of Judah began to sing and praise, the Lord intervened against their enemies. This is what happened. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Mount Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great quantity of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka. Baraka is the Hebrew word for blessing, where they praised the Lord. This is why it is called the Valley of Baraka, or blessing, to this day. See how God intervened. Jehoshaphat and his people didn't have the military means. They didn't have the natural power. But when they received the message of encouragement through prophecy, and then set aside men simply to sing and to praise the Lord, when the Lord heard their praises, he himself intervened against their enemies, put division and enmity amongst the enemies so that they actually destroyed themselves. And true to the prophecy, the men of Judah didn't even have to fight. When they arrived where the battle was to have taken place, their enemies were already dead bodies lying on the ground. All they had to do was to gather the spoil. And there was so much spoil that it took 3 days to gather it. That's a beautiful picture of how when we do not have the answer to a situation, when we're confronted by a crisis, something too big for us to handle, one of the wisest things we can do is simply to turn away from the crisis and the situation to the Lord, and in faith begin to praise him. Because when we praise the Lord, it opens the way for his miraculous intervention on our behalf. If we honor the Lord in our praise, the Lord takes care of our problem.
You know, this theme that Derek is developing for us bears repeating because it's so incredibly powerful. Time and again in the Word of God, when worship is described or taught on, there's a connection between worship and the defeat of God's enemies. This 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 22 passage, as they began to worship God in the beauty of holiness, the Lord set ambushes against the enemy. Now that is a powerful truth. Hold that up against the fact that in Psalm 8, it says that as we worship God, he silences the mouth of the avenger. Time and again, worship brings defeat to some matrix of evil in our lives or that comes against us. And I think the reason is also found in the Psalms, and that is that when we worship God, he enthrones himself on the praises of God's people. God shows up and his enemies are defeated. This is a critical principle. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Do you long to truly know God? To actually experience a deeper, more intimate relationship with the Creator? In his newly released book, Entering the Presence of God, Derek Prince shows you the spiritual power of worship and the importance of a thankful heart. Through its pages, you'll discover how to live free from the bondage of guilt and sin and truly enter God's rest through his marvelous presence. Don't wait. Order your copy of Entering the Presence of God today. The cost is just $12.95. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Discover the way into the very presence of God and experience the spiritual, physical, and emotional blessings that come from true worship. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771 or order your copy of Entering the Presence of God when you visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Great to have you with us on this Monday as we launch the second week of this powerful teaching on thanksgiving, praise, and worship. And Derek has landed us right on one of the most powerful truths about worship we could possibly know, and that is that as we worship Him, God goes to war, in essence, against our enemies, setting us free. He's about to tell the powerful story of Paul and Silas, and if you don't know it, you're going to love it. Let's listen.
See how God intervened. Jehoshaphat and his people didn't have the military means. They didn't have the natural power. But when they received the message of encouragement through prophecy and then set aside men simply to sing and to praise the Lord, when the Lord heard their praises, He Himself intervened against their enemies, put division and enmity amongst the enemies so that they actually destroyed themselves. And true to the prophecy, the men of Judah didn't even have to fight. When they arrived where the battle was to have taken place, their enemies were already dead bodies lying on the ground. All they had to do was to gather the spoil, and there was so much spoil that it took 3 days to gather it. That's a beautiful picture of how, when we do not have the answer to a situation, when we're confronted by a crisis, something too big for us to handle, one of the wisest things we can do is simply to turn away from the crisis and the situation to the Lord and in faith begin to praise Him. Because when we praise the Lord, it opens the way for His miraculous intervention on our behalf. If we honor the Lord in our praise, the Lord takes care of our problem. I've been saying that praise offered in faith when we're faced with a critical situation opens the way for God to intervene supernaturally on our behalf. I gave you an example from the Old Testament, from the story of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. Now I want to give you another example from the New Testament, the story of Paul and Silas in the city of Philippi. You probably remember that Paul and Silas had arrived there for the first time to preach the gospel in a city of Europe, and things had been going quite well, and then Paul got involved with this girl with the spirit of fortune-telling, and he cast the evil spirit of fortune-telling out of the girl, and the whole city just broke into an uproar. And for no real adequate reason, Paul and Silas were treated as criminals. The magistrates had them severely flogged and then put them in prison. Now, here's how the story goes on from there. Acts chapter 16, verses 23 through 30. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. You need to understand that the jailer always had to answer with his own life for the safety of his prisoners. If the prisoners escaped, he was put to death. So he'd rather put himself to death than wait to be executed by the Roman authorities. However, Paul had pity on that jailer. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Men, what must I do to be saved?" Isn't that a beautiful picture of God's supernatural intervention on behalf of servants of His who'd learned the secret of praise? There Paul and Silas were, their backs bleeding, in the maximum security jail, their feet in the stocks, apparently a hopeless situation. But they had the faith and the courage just to praise God. Nothing in their natural situation had changed, but it says they praised and sang hymns to God. Says the other prisoners were listening to them. That always appeals to me, that statement. I'm sure that those prisoners had never heard anything like that before in that prison, and they just didn't know what kind of persons they had there in that maximum security jail. In fact, I believe it would be surprising enough in any prison today if the prisoners in the maximum security jail were heard singing hymns and praising God. You might say, well, what a foolish thing to do. But the Bible says the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Out of that foolishness came a mighty intervention of God. There was an earthquake. God sent the earthquake. All the doors were opened, all the prisoners' bonds were loosed, and the jailer came to the point of conviction where he wanted to know how he too could have this kind of experience. That's a beautiful picture, but remember one thing, praise is a sacrifice. Hebrews 13:5, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. In other words, praise is an act of obedience arising from the will, not from feelings or circumstances. I'm sure that Paul and Silas didn't feel like praising Lord, but they offered the sacrifice of praise.
Boy, wouldn't it transform our worship lives if we really believed what Derek has been teaching us and what the Word of God teaches, that when we worship God, God goes to war against our enemies. This would change everything. It wouldn't be about us just trying to manufacture what is sometimes an artificial sense of gratitude. Instead, it would be about us contacting God and Him going to work for us. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Do you long to truly know God, to actually experience a deeper, more intimate relationship with the Creator? In his newly released book, Entering the Presence of God, Derek Prince shows you the spiritual power of worship and the importance of a thankful heart. Through its pages, you'll discover how to live free from the bondage of guilt and sin and truly enter God's rest through His marvelous presence. Don't wait. Order your copy of Entering the Presence of God today. The cost is just $12.95. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Discover the way into the very presence of God and experience the spiritual, physical, and emotional blessings that come from true worship. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or order your copy of Entering the Presence of God when you visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Great to have you with us here on this Monday. And with me in the studio is David Holland, who's one of the producers of this show, a pastor, a scholar, wise man who often helps us to digest what Derek's giving us. David, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Stephen. Good to see you.
You know, I've been thinking about this whole thing that Derek's been teaching us, which really it's the foundation of the modern spiritual warfare movement, the idea that worship has a dynamic to it in which God moves to destroy the conspiracies of the enemy.
Yeah.
Now, that's a powerful truth. It sort of transforms worship from just our relationship with God to the way it transforms our circumstances. But man, if the church could get a hold of that, it would really change things, wouldn't it?
Well, that's exactly right. You know, there a whole section of the Psalms, or a whole type of psalm throughout the Psalms, is what the theologians call the imprecatory psalms. And those are psalms that are very warring, militant kind of psalms. A lot of Christians don't know what to do with those. You know, you're reading one of these psalms and it's talking about, Lord, shatter the teeth of my enemies in their head.
Dash their babies against the rocks,
yeah,
and
exactly.
Stuff like that.
And, you know, you just don't know what to do with something like
sure.
that. But when you realize that we are in a battle, our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our enemies are not other people. Our enemies aren't our relatives. Our enemies are spiritual in nature. The idea of entering into a worship in which it's a warring worship, a militant worship, makes a lot more sense when you think about it in those terms. And as Derek was pointing to these examples from the scripture today in which people begin to worship and God's miraculous delivering power comes onto the scene on their behalf is a great example of that. He mentioned Jehoshaphat and Paul and Silas in prison as they begin to worship and they receive a miraculous deliverance from God. I've often wondered why it is that God's miraculous delivering power can come on the scenes and is made manifest when people do begin to worship. And I think I know the reason for that. I think it's because we tend to be very problem focused. When you have a really big enemy squatting on your lawn, when you have a real problem that and you really, really need God's delivering power, the easiest thing in the world is to be problem focused, Stephen, to see nothing but that problem. To see nothing but that challenge, that report from the doctor. And yet, when we begin to worship and turn our face upward and begin to see God, and then as our eyes begin to be opened, we see His majesty, we see His might, we see His goodness, we see His faithfulness, we see His awesome wonder and His glory, all of a sudden some things begin to rise up within us. There's a militancy and a confidence that rises up in us, in the midst of that, that creates an opening for God to bring His delivering power onto the scene. Don't you think?
I absolutely do. And, you know, I'm thinking about the fact that even beyond our individual lives, if worship has that power, if worship brings that dynamic, then it also has perhaps a transforming power in nations, on the land, in cities. You know, I'm aware of the fact as a student of history that St. Paul's Cathedral, Westminster Cathedral in London, both of them are built on the sites of former Roman pagan temples. And I think they didn't just, the early Christians didn't just do that because they wanted to say, ha ha, we beat you and now we're going to build on your site. I think it was a part of sort of cleansing the land.
Yeah.
The land had been tainted. The place, the culture had been demonized by this temple devoted to Mithra, one of the soldier cults, and Apollo and so on. And so when the Christians actually gained a certain amount of dominance, they built their places of worship right there that in the place that had sort of been a font of evil. The idea being that worship would break those strongholds, not just for that square footage, but for the land as a whole. And so that it begins to make me wonder, you know, in Dallas, for example, where you live, when the believers worship, are strongholds being broken in a broader way?
Yeah. There's real truth in what you're saying there. There's an aspect of taking ground from the enemy that worship is very integral to. And I believe this is where Derek is taking us today. You know, the resource we're providing this week, the book, Entering the Presence of God, it's available for $12.95. You can go out on the website and get it if you're interested, is very much about that. It's about pressing into God's presence, and in that, getting revelation from God and conducting spiritual warfare. There's a whole section in this book about engaging the presence of God for the purpose of spiritual warfare. That's why I would encourage anyone who's interested in hearing more about that, go out there to the website, derekprince.org, and you can acquire that book there, and you'll really get some help along those lines.
You know, if these principles are true, and I sort of start my sometimes the things I want to say that way just to sort of raise the question.
Yeah.
But if they're true, then a family worshiping together would really begin to sanctify their home for the presence of God. Christians in a business together would really begin to create a place that God could move in that business. In individuals in ministry, you know, churches, even church staffs, you know, worshiping together would really begin to break the strongholds and create sort of a habitation for the Holy Spirit in a sense. In other words, it could be a real key to renewal for people at all different levels of their relationships.
Well, now I'm under conviction. Now you've stopped preaching and you've started meddling. So, no, you're exactly right. And I'm feeling challenged right now in my own life, in my own heart, to make that more an integrated part of my life in every aspect of what I do.
Well, and I have to say, my friends will tell you that I can't sing at worth a bean. I can't play anything. I'm horrible. But I just simply put on my iPod, turn it up loud, walk around my hotel room, can't hear myself. I'm sure I'm driving the maids and everybody next door crazy. But I tell you what, I'm experiencing the presence of God with the help of people on audio. Anyway, Dave, it's great to have you with us today.
Oh, thank you, Stephen.
Well, listen, that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Be sure and join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment to order your copy of Derek's new and inspiring book, Entering the Presence of God. Available right now for only $12.95. Simply call us toll-free, 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The cost is only $12.95. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order your copy of Entering the Presence of God securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org.